It's a tale as old as time and also a new movie opening tomorrow. Disney's live-action Beauty and the Beast opens with advance ticket sales already setting records for a family film. How does it compare with the animated original? We ask critic Bob Mondello.
From the moment the townsfolk throw open their shutters to welcome a new day, it's clear Emma Watson will be a picture-perfect Belle, warm and wistful.
There goes the baker with his tray, life always, the same old bread and rolls to sun.
And it's equally clear that the world she inhabits will be down to earth and real. That's the promise. No, you're going to see an animated world brought to life.
Good morning, Monsieur Jean. Have you lost something again?
Well, I believe I have. The problem is I can't remember what. Oh, well, I'm sure it'll come to me.
That bit's new, and while it's not important, this forgetful guy never reappears, it is helpful in humanizing a number that's about to get very grand. Belle's Town has been created in full bustle by director Bill Condon with elaborate sets, animals, and something like 150 choreographed residents. It works well enough, but if you remember this number as light and airy, it's kind of not anymore. By the time Belle gets to the part about there must be more than this provincial life, you're definitely on the same page. Happily, Gaston is about to start pestering her, aided by a campy LeFou, and then come the bits with that fusty old clock Cogsworth and his candlestick buddy Lumiere.
Hello.
You can talk.
Well, of course he can talk.
They, too, have weight now, though they carry it well, going about their household chores with digital enthusiasm.
Hey, chapeau, you missed the spot.
In a way, this down-to-earthiness seems ideal, where the magic of animation lies in bringing pen and ink drawings to life. Disney has now decided to bring to its fairy tales some actual reality. They're looking at their whole animated catalog, including Lion King, with the idea that live action can offer a new kind of enchantment. And no question, the digitally reimagined Jungle Book was certainly gorgeous. That's true again in Beauty and the Beast. Dan Stevens is now lord of a significantly more imposing estate than he would have inherited in Downton Abbey.
You'll join me for dinner. That's not a request.
Gently, Master. The girl lost her father and her freedom in one day.
Yes, the poor thing is probably in there scared to death.
Exactly.
It's easy to picture Mrs. Potts actually brewing cups of tea for the film crew, but if the physicality is persuasive, it's sort of the opposite of magical. The filmmakers have done all the imagining for us, and it's wearing after a while to see things that once felt effortless given weight. That Busby Berkeley dance of cutlery and dinner plates, for instance, it's not just mind-blowing, it's kind of exhausting.
While the cups do their soft chewing, I'll be bubbling, I'll be brewing.
Production numbers aside, there's lots of backstory this time to give the actors something to play, a prologue about how the Beast became a Beast, he kind of deserved it, and a flashback about Belle's mom that helps explain the meaning of that rose that's losing its petals. The symbolism is fleshed out so clearly it'll doubtless be helpful to middle school English teachers, which counts as a plus. All of these things are pluses, really, though they do make this Beauty and the Beast more than 40 minutes longer than the animated one. 40 minutes better? Not for me, but if you've been craving a live-action Beauty and the Beast and Jean Cocteau's 1946 version strikes you as insufficiently family-friendly, I totally get that. This version is boisterous and colorful and entirely compatible with a trip to Disney World. And if that sounds appealing, you're going to have a great time. Be their guest. I'm Bob Mondello.
We've got a lot to do. Is it one lamp or two? For you are guests.
She's our guest.